kids grow up and they have this enthusiasm to get one more year older. You ever notice that you ask a kid, they're like, oh, I want to be 10. How old are you? I'm 10 and a half, 10 and three quarters. They look forward to it. And it's funny because we're talking about kids now, and Amy was up here talking about Martha West. Martha West actually raised most of her family in a boxcar in Springfield. Bought a boxcar, put it on the property. In fact, the part where it's set is still out there behind her house. And that's where they grew up, is in that little boxcar. It's determination. It's love for one another, their siblings. They get them through. If you have never met Martha, she comes and sits right about where Bruce is, right behind him. And, she's a pistol. You got to love her. And she's still a kid at heart at 100 years old. At 98, she fell and broke her hip. And that's okay. They put a new one in because who would ever do that at 98? That's how rambunctious this lady is. We all go through these challenges in life, though, right? From kids on, maybe you guys will make it to 100. I don't expect to. But we go through life and we begin to plan our lives out. It usually starts about 16, technically. At about 16 years old, we decide, you know what, we need to start saving up some money for a car, right? How many 16-year-olds we got coming? Or here, buying a car. What comes with, I know, they ain't raising their hands, it's okay. But then again, once you buy the car, then you got to have car insurance. That's kind of where I started. And then it was time to leave the house. And I thought, well, I got my car insurance. And now I got to pay rent. And with rent comes electric bills, this bill, that bill, that bill. Things that you probably took for granted all your life. And then you begin to focus on what you can do in your life. I was focused when I came out. I was focused on building a family, what is going to be solid. Went into the military. Focused on a military retirement because that would be something that would always be there. I didn't know the government would change its mind all the time. I focused on owning my own business. That's a good way to get ahead. And as I focused on that, I thought, this is going to be something that will give me solid stability in my older age. Yeah, it's not there either. It's not because it failed. God called me to be here. But I was looking for security in my life. We all do it. We go through our whole life looking so that we can have financial security and we can provide those things to ourselves and our families. William Shakespeare wrote, I wasted time and now doth time waste me. For now hath time made me a numbering clock. In other words, time, you can't get a hold of time. You can't control time. How many of you like to go back in time? Well, when you learn to control that, let me know. We are careful in our lives not to waste time, especially when we're planning for our future. Look at how much effort we put into gaining that financial stability. We educate ourselves in order to get a good paying job. We search diligently for that perfect job that's got all the perfect things in it, good old 401k and all those things, and then we begin to climb that ladder. And then, as we go through that, and we got our family, and we have our stability, then we begin to, we look for that perfect retirement. We want to save all the money we can save so that we can live it up in our golden years, not realizing in our golden years, we might move a little slower than we did in our younger years. The point today is simple. If your confidence today is written in how much money you have in the bank, how much equity you have in your home, how secure your financial system is, or how fat your retirement account is, you're in trouble. You need to brace yourself for a future shock because life as we know it will change. And matter of fact, life as we know it is changing right before our very eyes. The Bible is clear. One morning you're going to wake up in this country, and the world economy, your personal health, all those things will be seized by those who think they can save it by regulating it. And it happens. Look at New York. Look at what's happening in our cities. The Bible's clear. In order to stop the chaos, in order to manage all the confusion, they're going to take over the global economy. They're going to take over the health system. And the mark of the beast will one day become a reality right here in the United States. The government will choose who can buy and sell. I was doing good before I got up here. So they're going to tell you what you can and can't believe, when you can go to church, what day you can worship on. So I'm going to lose my voice. Darn. Revelation's clear that when the test comes, that golden moment for you to get ready. Thank you. We'll see if that works. All right, so the golden moment for you to be ready and to get ready for the second coming of Jesus is going to happen very quickly. It's going to be gone before you know it. COVID's good. All right. The reason why is because God has given us time right now to get ready for the second coming. He's given us a map to have Christ in our lives today so that sorrow will not, that tomorrow will not have a fearful outcome. But if you are waiting for tomorrow to get close to God, you're waiting for a time that is going, I already got some things. Appreciate it. We'll get through it. But God's given us that map. And if you're waiting for tomorrow, tomorrow's going to slip right through your fingers. Shakespeare's words come to mind. I wasted time, and now does time waste me? Today you have a privilege of receiving the righteousness of Jesus Christ as a gift through faith. And it's today, not tomorrow. We're talking about right now righteousness. The kind of righteousness that can secure you in God's heart and keep you in faith for the future. It doesn't start tomorrow. It is right here, right now. And it is guaranteed because of what Christ has done for you. So we often read Matthew. And if you want, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I wanted to pick up in about verse 25 because we read this and sometimes we fail to comprehend what we're reading. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air, for they neither sow nor reap what is gathered into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his future or stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, as I say to you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness, and all the things shall be added to you. So the question is, do we seek it? Is that first and foremost on our minds? And it wasn't. When I was young, it wasn't. I was looking for a way for stability. I was looking for a way to make a living. I was looking for all these things to be given to me in my life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do we really put God first in our lives? Do we exchange the mammon for the amen? Do we come to the table to eat of true gold? We never back up to Matthew 6:24. And in Matthew 6:24, we back up and we begin to see the command of Christ to seek personal righteousness right now. It says, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know, it's pretty hard to do. In today's environment, it's extremely hard to do. Money's important, right? The New American Standard Version says that you cannot serve God and wealth. The New International Version, even though it differs a little more, says that you cannot serve God and money. So the translations differ a little bit, but the word mammon in the Greek is taken from the Hebrew word that we use at the end of every prayer that we pray. That word is simple, it's amen. It's a Hebrew verb, amen. And amen comes from the Hebrew word, which derives its meaning from the idea of truth and trust truth. And that's important. Because amen is literally that which can be trusted, that which can be relied on. So what does the world trust? What does the world rely on? Is it not the concept of money, the concept of wealth that we all rely on? Why do you guys go to work every week? Dollar. Got to get it. Do we not strive for a bigger house, nicer car, better vacations? I hear Florida's a pretty hot spot. I don't know why everybody went to Chicago. When you put your trust in money, the Bible says you cannot put your trust in God. What happens when the confidence that you have in the economy, the confidence that you have in your money invested in, is stripped out from underneath your feet? What happens if we become the next Afghanistan? What would happen? Surely that's not possible, right? The Bible identifies the amen who stands in contrast to the mammon. The Bible identifies the man Jesus Christ, who is worth more than the mammon, who's worth more than gold, more than silver. He is the amen who is worthy of trust and confidence. You know, in the last days, the person, the focus of trust and confidence is identified also in the book of Revelations. The Laodicean church is the last church of the apocalypse. It symbolizes a church that is rich and increased in goods, with goods, and has no need of anything. The Laodicean we see in the church represents Christianity that has the Sabbath, has the knowledge of God the Creator, understands the gospel of prophecy, but it's missing something in its experience. It's missing passion. It's missing all those things, which makes it beautiful in that relationship with God. I did a, way back when, I won't tell you when, but when I first started college, I started as a computer programmer. And I enjoyed computers. It was the wave of the future. Guess what? I was right. But we decided as an experiment in our programming class to program a computer to create art. Not reproduce, but to create art. So we loaded all kinds of artwork into the computer. We loaded all kinds of images, all kinds of concepts into that computer. And no matter how we programmed that computer, pretty much what that computer spit out for art looked more like decoupage than it did any kind of art that was given. There was no flow. There was no anything other than blobs of different things that didn't quite line up correctly. What we realized is the computer lacked experience. The computer lacked experience, it lacked emotion, it lacked passion, and it lacked all the other concepts that are required to produce a beautiful piece of art. It never could produce art with real meaning. The Laodicean church that we see in Revelation has goods without God, has credentials without Christ, and has riches without righteousness. The world believes that money is the ultimate truth. Wealth is the greatest, and, well, it's the greatest good in reality to the human experience. So we find the last church in the book of Revelation that is an end-time Christianity that has the prophetic truth, but they are trusting in money and trusting in wealth instead of trusting in Jesus Christ. Could it be that we're actually talking about us? That's the picture that we get in the book of Revelations. Revelations 3:14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things. These things say the Amen. Notice that. These things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The Bible is very clear. Jesus is the Amen. And if you're putting your confidence in mammon, you are choosing mammon over Jesus Christ. The Bible says Jesus is the Amen. He is the faithful one. He is the one that you can trust even when you can't trust yourself or anything else in the world. On the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:24, Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. You need the Amen in your life. And the book of Revelation, the final generation is going to have to choose between the mammon and the Amen. You have to choose between the worldly mammon that says that you're rich without God. The Amen that makes you rich in the wisdom of God. That's the final choice. At the end, that's the final choice that we all must make. It is between the mammon and the Amen. And it's right down to what do you put your trust in? Every day, not just during this hour, but every day. Jesus comes to the church of Laodicea, and it's clear that he has a rebuke from a heart of love. We find him reaching out to the end time people just before the mark of the beast. It's a lover's plea to the church to change, to invest in Christ. Our lives have to be focused in these last days upon the reason for our existence. And I can tell you the reason for our existence is not to make money. Come close to death, you'll figure it out real quick. Money ain't going with you. Revelation 3:15, Christ says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. In other words, you can't straddle the fence. You can't have it both ways. Jesus describes a people that come to church and they leave, and that is all there is to their experience. There is no Christian experience other than to come to church, make sure that you look left and right, and you're doing better than Bob and Terry and Bruce and whoever else in here, and then you go back home. That's not a Christian experience. They come to a church that there's no enthusiasm in the church service, no love for God, no fire in it. There's no willingness to take risks that are beyond what which can be predicted and expected from God. What makes someone rich in the eyes of God? What really makes somebody rich? Where do you get your currency that translates into stuff of eternity? Where do you buy gold that cannot be stolen from you or seized by the feds when the banks crash? Instead of faith in mammon, you have the power to have faith in the amen. Jesus is the amen, the true and the faithful. We find Jesus, and he answers this question. In Revelation 3:18, he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. In the context, Jesus is calling out for the church that is trusting in the riches that have no value in eternity, to start seeking God in truth. Without the true one, Jesus Christ, in your life, there is no rest. The world just keeps spinning. Spinning pretty fast nowadays, isn't it? There's no Sabbath without the Lord of the Sabbath in your life. He's the one that gives you that rest. And all through the Bible, we see God's people being called to decisions. We kind of scan over and say, well, that was a good story. But we see Elijah that calls people to decision on Mount Carmel. He goes up on the mountain, he calls them to a decision. You can't be of two minds. You have to choose. Some of you guys are having real struggles in your life with choices. COVID's pushing all that to the top of the barrel. John the Baptist called the believers to a decision in the Jordan. Jesus, in his 3.5-year ministry, called the world to decisions. It is based on your ability to choose. And the choice will be based on what you believe in your heart. Simple question. You hear me ask it all the time. Where is your heart today? Do you trust in the mammon that is of the world? That nice car? The home you own? The wealth that you have for yourself? The retirement set aside that you're looking forward to? Are you looking for all those things here in this life? And if you are, I can tell you that one day your earthly possessions are not going to matter anymore. Jesus says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. He continues on. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. You notice that? Who's Jesus love? He loves all of us, right? This is a call for every one of us, especially in the last days. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and I sat down with my Father on his throne. He who is near, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are we listening? Are we really listening? Are we applying what we're hearing to our lives? Simple. Today, the amen asks you to open the door. And many of us in our Christian walk open the door with just a little crack so we can peek in and say, yeah, just talk to me through the crack. You ever been to a house like that? Open the door, exchange the mammon for the amen. Come to the table where there is true gold. Today is the opportunity, not tomorrow. It's simple. And I know there's people that are sitting here today. There's people that are watching online. And they're struggling with that very thing. There's a choice to be made. One day your choice is going to be limited because the government's going to make it for you. They're already doing it. How long do you think it's going to be when they go from you can't go to a restaurant, you can't go to a movie, you can't go to a gym unless you have this card? How long till they take that to the next level and say, you know what? You can't go to a grocery store. You can't go to church. You can't do any of these things without this card. In fact, if you have the card, you can only do it on this time period. It's coming. You don't think so? Go turn on the news. It's coming. And the real question is, today is your opportunity for the amen in your life. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. There may not be a tomorrow for one or two or three of us. Tomorrow's going to come really, really fast. I can tell you in my short little life, man, I can remember riding my little bicycle down the road, and that didn't seem like that long ago. Tomorrow comes quickly. It's going to come faster when we have a government doing what our government's doing. It's coming. And the Bible tells us it's coming swiftly. Today's the day for your choice. Amen.